The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A new survey reveals that 85% of EV drivers plan to stick with electric for their next car, while nearly half of non-EV drivers say they could be convinced to make the switch. Misconceptions about charging and maintenance remains barriers, but EV owners report high satisfaction, with many loving their vehicles. Now, to tell us more, I'm joined by Pierre Boutin, CEO of Volkswagen Ireland. Pierre, good morning and welcome.
Pat, good morning. A pleasure to be with you.
Now, first of all, who did you survey?
We actually surveyed over 2,000 of our customers, 700 or so currently driving electric vehicles, and 1,600 combustion engine, petrol or diesel.
Okay.
So our own customer base, people that are driving, so Irish customers, it's an Irish study. We commissioned actually a core research to do it for us.
So the good news is that people who have gone electric want to stay electric.
Absolutely. And it's very clear. And to your point, 85% that are driving electric today are telling us my next vehicle is still going to be an electric vehicle.
Now, those who don't want to stay with electric, what reasons do they give?
Actually, I have 2% only, because there's 13% that are still undecided right now. They're still at the early stage. And that's why I'll tell you, there's different reasons, right? It's only 2% of the people. And that's why also we've invested thoroughly with our retailers in training to make sure that we assess the needs of customers properly.
So you don't sell them an EV if it's not going to make sense for them?
Absolutely not. We're looking, people want to, you know, have fun and pleasure driving a vehicle. Obviously, there's some utilities of why they need the vehicle. And it's our responsibility to make sure that they have, they enjoy their purchase.
Now, for those who have not made the leap to EV, and sometimes it's simply cost, that there isn't a really affordable for them new EV, and the secondhand market in EVs is not really that developed yet,
mm-hmm.
because they're so reliable, people are not necessarily moving them on very quickly.
Yeah.
So what are the reservations they have, the people who have yet to jump to EV?
Well, people have yet to jump to EV. First of all, I want to tackle a little bit, if you allow me, some of the perceptions of the non-electric vehicles drivers. They say 60% of them say that I'm going to run out of charge. Well, it's only 25% of the concerns of our current EV owners. They say I'm going to have to charge very often, right? 40-some percent of them are saying, well, it's going to be a problem. Only 10% of our EV owners are saying this. I'm going to have to charge every single day, full charge. 20% of them think this way. Only 3% of our current EV owners are thinking this way. So obviously, there are a lot of myths. There's a lot of perception, and that's what we've wanted to address in this study. And by the way, you can download it on the Volkswagen brand's website, Cupra and Škoda. So we're making it available to everybody out there, because we believe we have a responsibility also to educate people and to really make sure that we bring facts to the equation.
So the concerns they have, you mentioned some of the misconceptions about how often they might have to charge. And that really depends on your usage. I mean, you may have to travel to Donegal. You will definitely have to charge before you come back to Dublin. That's for sure, sure. But they worry about the charging infrastructure. And that is developing quite slowly.
Yeah, we've asked actually what are the elements that they're not so satisfied with? And the number one element, 28% of them driving EVs today, they expect more charging infrastructure development, more fast charging chargers. While I'll say this, 89% of them own a charger right at home, and most of the time they charge at home. The challenge is obviously when you go long distances. And then, obviously, you need to plan a little bit better.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you what's interesting also in the study. People perceive that, oh, you drive an EV, so therefore you don't drive long distances. Actually, 29% of our EV drivers are driving more than 20,000 kilometers a year. And it's 32% for those driving petrol and combustion engines.
One of the issues is people say, my goodness, it's going to take me 40 minutes to go from 10% to 80% or whatever. But you don't necessarily need to do that if you only need to get home and you're 50 kilometers from home and you're a bit worried. You only need to give it like you'd have a splash of petrol into your car. You just need a short charge on an EV, get you home, and then you plug into your home charger and charge more cheaply at home.
Correct. And it's based on experience. And you see those that are driving EVs, that's why they've learned how to drive EVs, how to manage the charging. and they are highly satisfied today. So again, it's from perception to reality, and the reality is a high level of satisfaction.
Why do you believe that there has been a slowdown in the adoption of EVs? I mean, the numbers this year are less than last year. Why do you think that should be the case?
Well, first of all, we had pent-up demand during COVID. And obviously, as you know, supply chain was not up to speed at the speed that we're normally capable of. So there was pent-up demand. And all of a sudden, more vehicles available, not only from the Volkswagen Group, but from all manufacturers, more supply. And now we're basically, 2 years ago, we had 19% of the total industry that was electric vehicles in Ireland. Unfortunately, this year it fell down to 14. But we're very optimistic that it's going to turn around. Our forecast is over 20% for next year.
Now, one of the issues is obviously cost, because initially you could look at a petrol version of the same car and it would be cheaper than the electric version. The real tipping point will be when the electric version becomes as cheap as the petrol or diesel version.
A lot of progress, as you know, I've been made in that direction. The cost of the battery, the cost of the vehicles, and we're continuing to drive the efficiencies that we need to drive in that direction, that's for sure. The other element, too, that we need to consider in driving, what are the benefits of driving EVs, is the lower running costs, lower maintenance costs. Because when you consider the purchase of the vehicle, you need to consider that it's going to take you a significant budget for buying your...
I mean, I was trying to explain before about this. How often do you have to get your vacuum cleaner repaired, which it runs on an electric motor? And the answer is never. Never. That electric motor never breaks down. Now, it's not quite the same in a car, because there's a bit of rough and tumble in driving a car. But it's the same technology, really, as in a vacuum cleaner.
And Pat, I want to add this. I know there's a lot of anxiety about battery, you know, longevity and degradation and so on. Two elements. First of all, we back our vehicles with 8 years, 160,000 kilometers for the battery. Touching wood, we're not changing batteries. You may have some battery sales every now and then, but it hasn't been an issue whatsoever. So it's beyond what our engineers were really expecting in the get-go. The second,
so that guarantee of 80,000 kilometers or 8 years, whatever it might be, or 100,000 kilometers.
160.
160,000 kilometers.
Correct, yes. 8 years, 160.
So that's a very conservative guarantee. You're saying it probably will last longer.
Indeed, yes, because we know that in most cases you can go beyond. And another element that that you've heard a lot in the news in the last year has been the residual value of these vehicles, right? You mentioned earlier in the conversation the question of the used car market. Yes, we had some bumps on the road in the last year or so. I'm pleased to report now it's much more stable. We're gaining maturity in the used car market for electric vehicles. And the biggest element where people have said to us, well, what's the degradation of the battery? Where are we exactly? Today you have a certified battery approved program from the Volkswagen brand where you can go and your technicians will tell you where your battery state is currently. And I'll tell you that we see vehicles 160,000 kilometers, 180,000 kilometers, and they have still 91, 92, 93% of the capacity of the battery, the original capacity.
Yeah, so technology, if people check what happens solid to the battery in their phone, they may find the performance is not as good as that at all. Hmm. Some of the comments coming in, delighted with my EV here in Kerry. More fast chargers, please, badly needed. Generally charged twice weekly with long journeys. A bit of planning is needed, so says Dee. Here's a one for the moment. What happens with EVs when the electricity is cut off for a few days? Have many people been caught out with the storm, for example, and suddenly you've no electricity, so you're bunched?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the combustion engines bring some challenges too. They are different challenges. Certainly, people need to adapt and adjust to the new technology, and they always do. And that's why, again, the level of satisfaction is so high. Now, maybe a word on the infrastructure, the charging infrastructure. Obviously, we're working very closely with the policymakers everywhere, including in Ireland, and trying to push them as much as possible for them to make the investments. But we are also making investments as an automaker. We are in partnership with Ionity right here in Ireland. Our aim is to have 45,000 fast chargers around the world by 2026, and we're well on our way. So we've acquired some of these companies around the world. So we're not only building the cars, we want to be part of the overall framework.
A question from a listener, you may not know this off the top of your head. How does a fast charge in a service station compared to the cost of diesel per kilometer?
It really depends, right, of when you charge, where you charge. At home, obviously, is the cheapest way, especially overnight, right? So, but you will still pay probably anywhere between for your 80 kilometers, 80% of your charge, between 15 euros to 30, 35 euros, depending of also how fast. Is it a 150 kilowatt charger or is it 22 kilowatt chargers? This has an impact on the price, the overall price. But it's still a lot more affordable than, again, petrol and diesel.
What does government, do you think, need to do to encourage more people to literally go green?
Well, I think that we need consistency in the policies. We need consistencies in also the fiscal benefits. The fiscal, typically, the governments look at their budget on a yearly basis, so they don't make commitment for the long run. Like fleet companies, they need to see what is the long run because they'll acquire a vehicle for 4 or 5 years. So I think that they need to continue to put the incentives. They need to continue to have policies to help, again, in the infrastructure of the charging infrastructure, right, development.
And how important do you think is the fleet model where people maybe get a benefit in kind advantage from the government?
Well, right in Ireland, we don't have such a huge fleet business as such. It's really a retail business. It is important because, again, any entrepreneur will want to know for the next few years, what's my overall cost? So, yes, to shift more of the fleet companies to electric vehicles is an opportunity also in Ireland.
Because it then creates, after 3 years, normally those cars go into the second-hand market and
Correct. Yes.
You get a vibrant second-hand market. Charging infrastructure, if this information is correct, I've heard that Australia is installing charging facilities onto strategically placed lampposts. The power is already there and the car is not taking up parking spaces. Is that a technology that you think would be appropriate?
I think every country has opportunities depending of their source of energy and their current road infrastructure. And there's a lot of people are creative. I think you can survey a lot of countries around the world. You'll find some real solutions. And that's why we also encourage all the policymakers to get together. And we're there also every now and then to show them some opportunities in their own market.
Two more very interesting comments. We've had an EV for 18 months. We have a home charger. We routinely travel from Monaghan to Dublin, Belfast, etc. We've never had to use a public charger. Massive savings in fuel costs, maintenance costs, and lovely to drive. That's from Tony. Another one. Thank God for my Kia EV6 without electricity since the toy show on Friday night, but still running the basics in the house from the car.
And that's an opportunity for the technology moving forward. Absolutely. Where you have the transfer between your house and the car.
Last week, I was in Sligo for a meeting, round trip 372 kilometres, left home with 550 kilometres, dropped the dog to the groomers at 8:30, needed to be back by 5 to collect them. I'd no time to charge my car. On the way back, I had enough kilometres to get home. However, I needed to collect my dog another 15 kilometres. If I went to collect my dog, I would have 2 kilometres left of charge, not enough to get home. I had no choice but to collect my dog, and at that point I had 1% charge left. I drove into a housing estate close to where I picked up my dog. I saw a house with a Zappy charger. I knocked on the door and explained my situation to a very nice man. We plugged my car in and he brought me in. His wife was very nice too. I charged up 12 kilometres and by the time I reversed in my driveway, zero battery was showing on the clock. A bit stressful. I'd have to go back to that house with chocolates.
Beautiful story. And you see, there's real solidarity between all of these EV users. If you go to any charging stations, you will have great conversation with people driving different brands. So
now, you're advocating everyone should go EV. What about the threat from the Chinese? I mean, is that something that VW particularly worries about?
Frankly, this is very serious what's happening right now in the overall industry. There's huge pressure on cost. There's huge pressure on price, of course. We're still in an overcapacity situation. We were as an industry before COVID. It's even more true now. And we don't believe we'll go back to the same industry levels that we used to have. So everybody has overcapacity. You don't price for overcapacity. There's no value for consumers. So obviously, we need to do a better job at making sure our cost is aligned so that we provide value to consumers. Plus, I'll say it, these foreign automakers, in most cases, they have better margins than us. They're and especially in the volume segment. So we welcome the competition. Competition makes us better. It's better for also for consumers in the long run. And that's why we got to shape up for this. And it's not unique to Volkswagen.
So that's it. It's a challenge. Like the Japanese were a challenge, the Koreans
Correct.
Were a challenge, and
Indeed.
Now the Chinese.
And it made everybody better, and it created better opportunities for consumers in the long run.
Pierre Boutin, the CEO of Volkswagen Ireland, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.